Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Living Waters digital audio service. We're glad you've joined us. Over the next 45 minutes or so, we'll hear a number of voices from our pastoral team. We're taking the instructions from our government seriously, so this digital audio service has been recorded with a small number present and working at a distance from one another, or, in some cases, remotely. With that said, today you'll hear a sermon shared by Luke Knight from the Book of James, our series called Ancient Wisdom for Right Now. We'll also hear from Dave Solms, and Victoria Wilkinson will lead us in worship. I would encourage you to take a moment, take a deep breath. For these few minutes, leave behind the things that have already happened today and the things that are still to happen, and simply settle in and experience the words and worship today to be encouraging and helpful for you. If you joined us for last week's digital audio service, you would have heard that we had a project started called the Uganda Bean Project. Living Waters had committed to giving $3,000, and we had encouraged individuals to give to see if we could bring that amount to $5,000 in order to plant 30 acres of beans, providing food, employment, and even the next harvest for those in Uganda. Living Waters community, you truly astound me. The individuals of this community didn't just raise an additional $2,000. We raised an additional $7,000. And here is some more good news. Of the $10,000 we are sending to Uganda, a partner has stepped up to meet that gift dollar for dollar. So $20,000 is going to be used to transform communities. We aren't planting 30 acres. We're planting 100 acres. Well done, Living Waters. If faith without works is dead, I think you've proven that your faith is alive and well. So welcome. We're so happy you've tuned in. Let's begin with a reading from the Book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, and have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab, the prostitute, is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works.
Thank you. that the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free. Has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. Well, I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free. Chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in again. I think we just have to say, and I know I can speak for our whole pastoral team when I say this, that we really miss you. We know we get to see you online a little bit and sometimes face-to-face, but we miss being together, and we love you so much, and we hope that you remember that today. We're going to continue in our series in the Book of James, Ancient Wisdom for Right Now. Last week, Rebecca shared from James, and we heard that a life of faith is one which rejects discrimination and embraces our neighbor. And we'll continue along those lines in our reading from James today. Not too long ago, I remember getting so angry that I threw my road bike in a ditch. It's a long story for another time, but another story goes that Martin Luther, who helped kick off the Reformation in the 16th century, once got so angry reading this bit of James that he tore this page out of his Bible and threw it in a river. Why so much drama? Well, the big question that Luther asked and was enraged by is James suggesting that we earn God's favor through the stuff we do? Turns out that that was the wrong question. Now, a few hundred years later, we can see that James isn't making an argument for earning God's favor by how good a life we live. He isn't telling us we've got to work our way to heaven, but reminding us of Jesus' preoccupation with bringing heaven to earth. Once again, James sounds a lot like Jesus. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And James is simply inspiring his listeners to flesh out that prayer. There's two thoughts that stand out to me when reading this bit of James. First, a life of faith is as much about substance as it is about transcendence. And the second thought is that a substantial life of faith is filled with ordinary offerings. Let's talk about that first thought. A life of faith is as much about substance as it is about transcendence. Every now and then, when I'm at home with my family, I have a tendency of floating away. I'll be sitting at dinner and my eyes will glaze over as I stare off into some distant space, forgetting I'm even in the room. My mind wanders and my attention follows. Eventually I'll come back and my wife Sarah will gently ask, "So where did you go?" And I'll apologize and fill her in on my little journey. It can be easy to assume that a life of faith must be like that. That faith in God is about floating off, a kind of transcendent state of being, of a happy little vacations in high up spaces. We could think about a life of faith as if it's a life somewhere else. And if life doesn't feel floaty, dreamlike, or maybe lofty, we might assume that something must be wrong. Well, James confronts that assumption by saying that God's not as floaty as we think he is. In fact, if Jesus' life shows us anything, a life of faith is really quite grounded. And that's what James is aiming at in this passage. Knowing God isn't about mental ascent, so thinking the perfect thoughts. Knowing God isn't about retreating from the real world or bending ourselves into some never-ending emotional gymnastic routine. Perhaps most importantly, James tells us that knowing God isn't just about lip service, which is hard to hear for those of us who like to talk. James says that knowing God is a life of substance, where we should expect to get the dirt of the earth under our fingernails, the scent of our neighbor on our couch when we can, maybe a better way of saying that, to find the needs of the needy at the top of our to-do lists. It's living and working with God in the here and now, on earth as it is in heaven. This week, the church around the world remembers and celebrates Jesus' ascension. We read in the Gospels that Jesus returned to the one he called Father after his resurrection, but sent his Spirit to help us share God's love today. Jesus may have ascended, but we are very much here to flesh out heaven, as Jesus did. So the real question James is asking in this bit of the book is, what good is heaven if it doesn't touch earth? Thoughts, dreams, intentions, words alone fall short. A genuine life of faith is filled with the substance of God's activity, riddled with the evidence of God's love. And if we can't see Jesus' fingerprints on the people and places we touch, if we socially distance our hearts from our local and global fellow human, James says we're not really living in the Jesus story, because God is anything but distant from us. Growing up in school, I was always told to dream big. There was a banner over one classroom chalkboard that read, "Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars." And those words helped to ignite my imagination, for which I'm thankful, because imagining what's possible is a big part of our faith. But so is simple action. As someone with a tendency of being a little wordy and a little floaty, sometimes I could do with a little less dreaming and a little more doing. One of my favorite poets wrote in a poem about the simple but meaningful life of a farmer. And at the very end of that poem, he wrote this phrase, "Live large, man, and dream small." What did he mean by that? Well, I think he meant, don't worry about where you're not. Enjoy filling up the space where you are. A life of faith is as much about substance as it is about transcendence. That's the first thought. The second thought is simply that a substantial life of faith is filled with ordinary offerings. One of my favorite writers says that we're being genuinely Christian when we're simply putting others in touch with God by every interaction. That's also a really great description for Jesus, isn't it? So before we get any delusions of grandeur, thinking that a substantial life needs to be a showy life, we should ask ourselves, how showy was Jesus? How did Jesus put others in touch with God? Jesus often told people to keep his miracles a secret. He paid attention to the people most ignored. In the gospel accounts, even his resurrection reads a little bit under the radar. So is the genuine activity of God bombastic or showy? Or does it usually look humble, even ordinary? Some of us are feeling restricted and stifled during this pandemic. What about our plans? What about our goals? What about the impressive life we were building or were about to start to think about maybe building? What about all the great stuff I was going to do? All the great people I was going to meet, the great places I was going to go. What if none of it happens? Will my life have any substance? Will my life matter? The wisdom from James here, rooted in the teachings of Jesus, says that our lives have the potential to be more substantial the simpler, the more ordinary they become, so long as they're infused with the love of God. When we simplify, filling up the space where we are, rather than daydreaming about where we are not, our delusions of grandeur often fade, and we can affect what's right in front of us. What chore can we do? What neighbor can we listen to and encourage? What prayer can we pray to open up to God's nearness and compassion right now? James gives two Old Testament examples of famous characters. The great Abraham, who didn't start out great, just started with a step out of his city and into a life of trust and follow through. And Rahab, a woman remembered in Israel's history by one simple action of helping people in danger escape from a sticky situation. These are the unassuming and the humble examples James shares. I think our church does unassuming quite well, like planting seeds in Uganda, for example. Seeds that no one will see the fruit of for maybe a few years. And actually, just this week, our pastoral team heard about our women's prison ministry team. They can't go into the prison right now, so they're writing encouraging notes to the correctional officers and the inmates alike. They're fleshing out on paper the love of God as best they can. A life of substance is filled with ordinary offerings. That kind of life can add up to more than we could imagine. James sums things up with another modest but evocative picture. He writes, "Just as the body is dead without breath, so faith is dead without good works." A few months ago, I visited a massage therapist to help with some back problems I was having. He did good work, but what I heard him emphasize the most was the importance of breathing. He said, "We don't breathe very well these days. We're hunched over our computers. We're always in front of screens. We've got to remember to sit back or stand up and take a deep breath rather than a shallow breath. And we'd all be better off if we learned to breathe like we were made to." At the very end of the visit, he said, "I'm going to give you some instructions of things that you can do at home to help." He wrote a few things on a piece of paper and handed it to me. And all he had written were three words: breathe, breathe, breathe. I'm not sure that a life of faith has to be as complicated as we sometimes make it. We're designed to love substantially, but simply, just like we're designed to breathe. I think that a life of faith, a life of love, can come as natural as breathing if we just let it. So a closing question is this. Where are we taking inconsistent or shallow breaths? And where is God inviting us to breathe routinely and deeply by fleshing out ordinary love where we find ourselves right now? Hug your partner in the kitchen. Plant some beans in Uganda. Ask your neighbor a second question and listen carefully. Forget about buying another self-help book on Amazon you'll never read and give the money to a food bank instead. And if you find your life filled with ordinary offerings, don't be fooled into thinking that your life isn't counting for something. The fingerprints of God are all over it. We have a faith, dear brothers and sisters. May we keep fleshing it out with simplicity and love.
Great are you, Lord.
Thank you, Victoria, for leading us in a song that is so true. Great are you, Lord. And of course, moves into discovering that personally, God being great within our lives. I love how simple the themes of this digital audio service has been today. God is near, God is close, God is with us, and this beautiful invitation to open up our lives to the reality of that so that our faith could be grounded in the good experiences of having a loving and living relationship with our Lord and Savior. If you've never made a decision, if you've never perhaps opened up your heart to that possibility, I'm of a mind that today would be a good day for you to do that. And as we close in prayer and pray for the needs around, we, of course, would consider our own personal needs today. I'd encourage you to pray for yourself today as we close this service together. God, thank you that faith really is quite simple. We do today place our faith and our trust in you. We look to you today. We open up our hearts. We open up our minds to receive you now. Come into our hearts in new and fresh ways. May we know the good experience of being found in a right relationship with you and a right relationship with others. Thank you that you draw near to those who make room. And we do that today on purpose, with intention. So come, Lord Jesus, come. Fill our lives. We do pray for the needs around us today. We pray for those who are far away. In some ways, we thank you for the generosity of Living Waters Church to participate in food relief and hunger relief. We pray for your blessing upon that generosity and that good intention of helping those so far away. We pray for the neighbor near. We pray that those who are sick would find healing. Those who are unemployed would find employment. Those who are discouraged would find encouragement. Those who need friendship would find community. And we pray for ourselves today that our faith would be strong, our faith would be in you and you alone, and that you would lead us continue along this good path of love and the neighborly way. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We want to continue to make mention of our welcome meetup, which is, of course, online on Sunday, May 31st from 10 to 10:30. You can find more information and find your way into that meetup through our website into the newer tab, and you'll find all the information you need there, as well as email addresses of our ministry team, and we'd be happy to give you more information. Hoping to see those who are newer and newer online next Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week.